Hello and welcome back to another episode of Unscripted. I am Zanetta Chunik Empower, and here today I am with Gil Vaisman. How are you today?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
All right, y'all. So Gil has an amazing business perspective that we're going to hear more about. I'm already excited to hear more about it. So GoADU is your enterprise. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes.
All right. So let us know more about what you do and what services your business offers.
Okay. So in short, we help people build ADUs, accessory dwelling units, in the greater Los Angeles area, providing A to Z solutions for anybody looking to add value to their property.
Okay. I hear a lot of married couples want ADUs to put their spouses in another room. Is that something you're hearing a lot about? It used to be, you know, mother-in-law quarters, and now spouses are getting kicked out of the ADU.
I snore myself, so.
I hear about it. I hear married couples say they would love to live apart, but together. Is this a trend that you've been noticing in ADUs?
No. I'm yet to find like a wife that wants to schlep her husband away to the ADUs, but I could see it happening more and more.
So as a real estate market in California evolves, where do ADUs fall into that mix of being able to add property value to your portfolio?
Well, right now it's kind of like the one-on-one play for everybody that like is a homeowner. Either people that like are sitting on a property, like if you already have a property and you haven't added that ADU, you haven't maxed it out, it's kind of like your first go-to move before you look for adding a second property necessarily. The bar for entry is much lower that way. And I believe not every neighborhood is going to be full of ADUs, but a lot of neighborhoods are going to be, like the exception will be the property that doesn't have an ADU in a lot of neighbors.
Gotcha. How did you get started into this? Is your background in real estate?
No, my background is not in real estate. My background is I'm a picture editor for reality television. So I got started by doing my first ADU on my own, like learning as an owner builder. Back in 2017, I built my first ADU with my wife, and we were like banging our heads against the walls, trying to figure it out. And slowly, like I started consulting more and more, and kind of being like this voice of reason, like you can do ADUs. These are legal things. These are things that like anybody can do. And at some point I launched a business while still working as an editor. And it grew to a point where I started turning down editing gigs. And now I do this full time. But
Oh, awesome. So it sounds like there was a natural pivot for you between the work that you were doing in your home, building that expertise, and then leveraging that into a second career.
Basically, yeah. Plan B became plan A.
Nice. So with your ADU venture, what is most important to you right now? What are you looking to do with this business now that you've fully invested into the work full time?
What my goal is basically.
Yep. Where do you see the business going? What are some insider trends that you can share about the trajectory of not just what you do, but property development and redevelopment as a whole, just even for individual homeowners?
Okay. So, I would say that the biggest trend like that I see right now is a move from state law to local law, where we're kind of like eliminating that the NIMBYism of LA, which was what created this housing crisis in the first place. So we're seeing like more and more lax zoning laws that are coming from Sacramento, from state politicians, and allowing us to build 4, 5, 6 units where before used to be a single family home. So that's kind of like the bigger trend that I see like globally happening in LA, which I think it's going to help solve the housing crisis. For development, like numbers have to make sense.
Can you go a little bit deeper? What are the KPIs that you look for to make the numbers make sense? What should someone be measuring in order to understand the ROI?
Basically, the cost of right now, the numbers are really good for like that second home, like that second, like that first ADU, numbers usually make sense. People are sitting on a 3% mortgage. You can get a loan, pay about $1,000 per 100K approximately a month. For 200K, $2,000 a month, you can get an ROI of $3,200 for those $2,000 worth of loans that you're getting. So it's still pretty decent return of investment, in my opinion, better than like whatever you can find going out there in the market. Those are like rough napkin numbers that like people run. So like it's usually a good investment. $50,000 is like your cheapest ADU at this point. So that's $1,500 a month. You're bringing in a rent of at least $2,000, $2,500 a month. That's $1,000 clean in your pocket that you didn't have before. It's extra cash flow.
What are some unexpected pros and cons of having an ADU and a renter in your primary or your secondary home? What are some things that people are not thinking about when they get into this?
I don't believe it's totally passive. I can say that. Like, there's this myth of like passive investment. I think rentals are mostly passive, semi-passive, 80% passive, but they're not fully passive. Like there's repairs, there's dealing with personalities, there's dealing with part of your lot that like all of a sudden isn't there. Those are cons. Pros are the cash flow at the end of the day and that financial freedom and extra security that you get by having an asset that you can pass on to future generations as well.
What are some things you learned in your personal build out that you have taken with you in your entrepreneurial journey?
Okay, a lot of things. Let's see. Not try to do too much yourself. Like at the beginning, I would try to do too much myself. And that got me in a lot of trouble. Because like, you become your own cog in your own machinery. Like you're stunting your own growth in a way when you don't learn to get out of the way and hire the right people for the right roles and delegate and allow people to, like, there's nothing worse that you can do to someone competent than micromanage them and like cut their wings off. So like hire the right people, enable them and allow them to do the best job that they can do. That's a lesson that like I did all the wrong things. I micromanaged, I was over controlling, I things had to be my way, and I didn't understand that there's different styles to do things and everything is fine, you know? And right now my goal is to be useless in my own business. My job in my own business is to get myself in trouble, meaning growing. I'm the troublemaker in my own business. So I'm always figuring out ideas and things that I can do to make it bigger and to diversify and to get into more trouble. But like the basis I have covered by delegating and putting the right people in the right spots.
Nice. So it also sounds like your business development and entrepreneurial journey also has some leadership growth there, from you going to someone that's in the weeds to more of a high level reviewer, or dare I say, just a supervisor over all of the other happenings that are happening with your business. So how was it in the beginning to take yourself out of those tasks? Sometimes entrepreneurs have a really difficult process just removing hats and allowing the work to be done. How was that for you?
It was a challenge, and it still is. Like, there's stuff that I like to do, you know, even though I don't need to do it. But I like to start my week by doing there's some menial tasks that I still love doing, like consolidating accounts. I consolidate the accounts myself. It gives me a picture of where we're at weekly. So I do that every Monday. Like, could I have someone consolidate an account? Absolutely. But like, by doing that, like I get the picture of where the business is at. At the beginning, like it's good. Like once I hired the right person and like I all of a sudden had time to do all this stuff. Like, it was like a newfound freedom. And so now I love it. I'm kind of like, I have a lot of tattoos. They said you get addicted to for ink, you get addicted to hiring as well.
And that journey itself is interesting, where entrepreneurs go into a venture. It's all in, it's all day, every day. It's hustle, but to be able to really build yourself out of your business to become a leader and actually have the mental space to either do other things or reinvest into your business, that's real ownership. And so congratulations to you for getting to that stage in your business.
Nah, thank you. Like it's been fun. Like I watch a lot of podcasts, listen to a lot of people that have made it, and try to take the pieces of advice from them. You know, like that's something that I do. So I try to pick the best out of everybody.
Are you, you mentioned that you like to watch podcasts. Are you a reader? Do you have any books that you would recommend to our listeners on any topic? It doesn't have to be ADHD.
Yeah, but they're kind of like the greatest hits. They're nothing spectacular. Like, Don't Split the Difference is a big one, about negotiations. I've read it up multiple times. I implement the techniques on from parenting to sales, because like something that I still do is sales. I still haven't removed myself from doing sales. So that
you're the boss. You still have to have a business development eye and ear at all times.
So yeah, like I'm still doing sales. I'm still doing basic oversight of stuff. Like, yeah, there's stuff that I realize you never give away. You never give away, for example, control of your books. That's why I still do consolidate the accounts. Like, I don't know exactly where my business is at. Like, I get you. It's a slippery slope, in my opinion. Like, you get disconnected.
I agree. What are some milestones that you're looking forward to in your business within the next 3 years?
So, want to grow into small. Like, right now, I'm doing small houses, ADUs, to do big houses. So, I want to do full-fledged single family homes. And I want to be able to, I have my first project coming up this year, my first single family home that we're going to be building in LA. And so looking forward to doing more of those. Eventually get into development as well, like do my own projects and diversify that way. And also diversify, like in the macro, that's a macro sense of diversifying. I also want to diversify in the micro by doing more things vertically and more things in-house. Mm-hmm. Running around, like I look into what subcontractors we hire and I try to do that in-house.
Mm-hmm.
Control the cost better and then offer that service to other businesses that I can be the subcontractor. So like I'm looking to get into trouble in that sense.
Nice. Well, it sounds like you're definitely forward thinking and on top of all of the essentials needed to really grow your business. So it's really impressive to take your creative mind and turn it into something as functional and tangible as building something with, well, not with your hands, other people's hands. So
that's a misconception. People think it's like, are you going to come here and start building? And it's like, no, man, I run the business. I can't be with a hammer and a nail running a business as well, you know.
Now, do you miss editing at all?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm starting to do a little bit of AI editing projects. They're fun. Take a picture, like generate it, create the footage. So I'm messing with AI and video editing and see. Something will come up. I'll share some of
that. AI, with your expertise in photo editing, has AI somewhat threatened this space at all, or does it create room for opportunity?
Absolutely. Editors are going to be replaced at some point. It's insane what AI can do. Like it can craft a story. It can put things together. Like, you're going to need a fraction of the people you used to need to. Like, you used to need an army of editors to do a reality show. You'd need like 10, 13 editors per show. And now I believe with one or two, you can get by.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. When I think about photos and video, I have a TV background. It would be nice to have saved time with the tool, but I'm kind of a purist. So I think that there should always be someone living and breathing, managing those things, just to make sure that it's humanized as much as possible. So my wish for that industry is for humans to stay in the driver's seat and to make sure that we're in control of the narrative and the look as much as possible. Because I can tell, I'm still able to tell the difference between.
No, it's something. Not there yet. But for example, in unscripted, if you're familiar with the role of a story producer, they would put like an assembly of shots, like it's a rough story of just like, this is the narrative. Now you can just type it in, and there's this new plugin. They have it in Premiere. It costs $450 a month, and it spits out that rough cut.
Okay, that's impressive. I can't.
It's impressive. I'm telling you, it's impressive. So the story producers are the first ones that are gonna end up going. And it's not like in Hollywood is an industry that like really cannot handle any more bad news, you know, because like it's already been like devastated. It's a fraction of what it was. But like AI is a bearer of bad news for a lot of creative industry professionals.
What advice would you give to someone who is a creative in your space that may be feeling the pinch from the ongoing AI just infiltration of this space?
I don't know, like pivot. You have a lot of skills that are transferable. You wouldn't think that like someone could come from storytelling to building ADUs or building houses. But like, I still think that the skills of storytelling, of like, you build a script, you build a set, you bring in actors, you put makeup, you give art production, etc. It's similar to like it teaches you logistical organization. Like, I studied before becoming an editor in film school, I studied production. I was like on a way to be a line producer. That's what I learned. Mm-hmm. So I learned about like organizational stuff helped me become a better editor because of how I handled my projects. I did them very structured, so I kind of saw elements of the story and try to craft them together. Now, elements of storytelling are helping me become better at business. Not so much at building a home, but at building a business. You know, like you put different players and you know how to work with teamwork. And so, like, people that are in Hollywood are very, very skilled. Like, some of the most talented people that I've ever met were working in editing. And they're brilliant. The bright brain, left brain combination of brilliance. And these are people that like have skills that can triumph in any other industry, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Hollywood was like a dream of doing it because of, you know, like it is perceived as glamorous, mm-hmm. but there are the hardest working people I've seen have been like people working productions, the hours, the like it's grueling. And so they have the work ethic, they have the skills, they have the talent to triumph in pretty much any industry.
Yeah, entertainment on the outside is a lot of, you know, fun and notoriety, but it is a lot of work. It is most certainly a lot of work. And so the people who power that industry are, as you said, very talented. So making a pivot really requires someone to settle in on what they're good at, what they enjoy, and figure out if there's a space for that. And so that has led you to developing ADUs. So tell us more about your website and how anyone can find you if they're looking to perhaps build onto their home or learn more about you.
Yeah, so our parent company is Weissman Construction, just like my last name, weissmanconstruction.com. That's the single family homes. And then we have Go ADU, very simple, very catchy. For our ADUs, we have an A to Z system. We have a team of badasses ready to tackle any project that you have in mind. We care a lot about the quality. We care a lot about meeting our deadlines and meeting the budgets.
That's very important. Meet the calendar and meet my cash.
Exactly.
Also, is your business also on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find us the same thing. Like just like if you Google Go ADU, you'll find our socials. And we're on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Same for Weissman Construction, same for myself, Gil Weissman. I'm out there in social media, LinkedIn, everything is out there for the public to see. And okay. I still have an IMDb if you Google me.
That's cool. So before we leave, if you can share one piece of advice to anyone who's looking to pivot, whether they're a creative or an expert in another space, what would you leave them with today based on your journey?
I believe in like analyze stuff, but analysis paralysis is a big thing. Like try mm-hmm. doing it, like try to nibble into things, like start doing stuff. Like you have mm-hmm. a business idea, like start seeing what's something that you can be doing now. Mm-hmm. That's mostly like, yeah. I would say do something that there's you can do more than you realize.
Mm. That's good. That's really good, especially when you're new. You are, you know, I want to make sure I'm doing this right. There's so much at stake, but the little steps matter. And so it's really good that you just affirm that for everyone.
Yeah, go for it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining Unscripted. Again, I am Zanetta Tunique Empower. Not for you, because you know my name, but for anyone who's just tuning in and missed that, I am Zanetta. We host this show regularly with business owners and learning more about what they do, how they came about, and their success plan. So thank you so much for joining me today.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Thanks.